Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavaditamastoma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Yes, so Paramatma Sundarbha Adhyayana 4, Adhikarana 2, the Lord's actions are without hatred or prejudice. Page 32, Rajanath. Why must the individual soul suffer so that the Lord can enjoy these leelas? Right? So again, we see, we tend to always look at it from our point. It's saying, okay, he pointed out that, you know, we're suffering this, that. He made us like this. Why is that? No, he didn't. It's your choice in that. And he comes here and he has his pastimes. Well, if he's having his leela, why is he enjoying and we're suffering? But we always ignore the point that you're here because you want to be here. You want to be separate from Krishna. And the natural thing is without Krishna, where's going to be the happiness? Right? So, in other words, we're 10,000 at the tip of the hair. We're really small. That's our size. By being in touch with the internal potency, that's amplified, right? So then as the eternal associates of the Lord who are, you know, are Shakti, are interacting with the Lord and the fullness and intensity of that, then we, even as jivas that were so small, being in that fire, then we become similar light that we can experience that, right? That's the whole point. We're dependent. We're so small. We have to be under one or the other. So now if you go into the material energy, then when you magnify that, then you're going to end up with the material body and all the things, nonsense that comes along with it. Right? You know, so that's going to be the thing. What is this banging going on? Yeah, so it's just going to, that's just the way it is. But we're always trying to find a way that it's not us, it's somebody else, you know, it's somebody else's problem like that. And so what to do? Okay. Raghunath Das Babaji. One should consider that to possess and exercise free will is indeed a special grace of Sri Krishna, right? So We like the independence as long as we always get benefit from that independence. But if by our independence we get some problems, then we are, we are then not happy with that part. Like that. Inert matter is without free will. Hence, non-essential and extraneous. The jiva, on the other hand, by asserting his free will, has attained the position of lordship over the material world. Suffering and pleasure are different conditions of the mind. What we call, means it, in other words, yeah, what we call, what we call suffering, another person attached to the same condition will define as a pleasure. So it's a condition of the mind. We say it's good or not good. Because any condition that you find, some other will find it to be nice. The final outcome of material pleasure, however, is pain. Even if you have, then it's going to end up there. Just like we're having a great time eating that, you know, half bucket of halva. And then when we're finished, then we might find the result is not necessarily as pleasant as we like, as we lay there, you know, and we can't move, right? Yeah. The materially engrossed person accumulates only misery in the end. And upon experiencing the worsening of a situation, he desires undiluted, endless happiness. Intensification of this desire arouses his conscience and power of discrimination, leading to inquisitiveness and inquiry into the ultimate reality. The attitude of sincere inquiry leads to sadhusanga, which bestows shraddha and thus installs the jiva on the path of elevation. right? So one wants to always be happy, you know, because the thing was, is, you know, it's like you always have that kind of trope where something always keeps going wrong. And so then the person says, can I ever get a break? You know, it's a possibility for something to be nice and that, and it goes wrong, and then some other, and then it goes wrong. You know, why me, you know? So then that comes into the point is then if that brings up the consciousness, from the consciousness, then there is the discrimination. You can start to see what's working and not. From that, then you get inquisitiveness, because unless you can't inquire if you can't tell the difference between two things, right? And so then you wonder what actually is going on. That will then, and so that attitude of sincere inquiry, not just a superficial, but a sincere, that leads to sadhusanga. So he's saying, he's showing the whole progress here. So that's why Narad Muni in the seventh canto, he's mentioning how for the human society, then they use the varnashram, and from their whatever position they are in, they use that to serve Krishna. Right? They use that to as their occupation to take care of themselves to serve Krishna, because the main service is in the ashram side. But then you have the indirect aspects that are there in the with the occupation. And so they then can go up, and then in that sense, they're dealing in a structure of mode of goodness. There's still this material world. There's going to be passion in it, so it's going to be some suffering, but it's mild, though they're used to a mild environment. So for them, the experience basically has the same effect, the same intensity. But because you don't have the passion, ignorance having so much influence, therefore, then that can then turn into to that, what do you call it, as I mentioned here, discrimination, consciousness, discrimination, power of inquisitiveness, and that sincere inquiry. Because everything else they do, they try to sincerely do their, if you're sincerely trying to do your duties, you can sincerely inquire. If it's just about yourself, then the tendency is you won't necessarily sincerely inquire, because you don't really want to know. You just want to get rid of your problem. But if you actually want to know, then that brings you in contact with the devotees, right? Even the smallest spark of that, then Krishna will arrange that we get the association of devotees. From that, then you can get Shraddha. And then from that, then you start the path of devotional service, right? So if someone says, I came in contact with devotees, but I didn't, then maybe the inquiry wasn't as deep, or the impurities in the heart and things like this. But the point is this is the system. Even if you've contacted and didn't take up devotional service, that's not a loss, because that contact of the devotees, that ajata sukriti is going to be very great. So it just means you need a bit more. You're going to have to contact the devotees a bit more. Therefore, suffering is ultimately a boon. Impure gold is purified by firing and repeated hammering. Similarly, when the jiva is contaminated by the fancy to enjoy his senses to the extreme, making him turn away from Krishna, he needs to be purified by the fire and hammering of excruciating material experiences. In this sense, the suffering of a gross materialist are auspicious and the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, the misery suffered by the jiva in the pastimes of Sri Krishna is considered as good and beneficial by far-sighted visionaries, while the myopic materialists abhor it as deathly suffering, right? Because they just want to enjoy. So anything that gets in the way of their enjoyment, they'll say is bad. But the point is it's about being absorbed in Krishna. That enjoyment, that kind of, that aspect is something special, right?
Like that. Maharaj?
Yes.
Can we say that... sooner or later, in the material world, when we want to enjoy, but the result is always suffering. So sooner or later, we are going to understand that pattern. You can say like that.
Yes, yes.
Aware about God and.
But if there's a sincere inquiry to find out exactly what is going on, then one comes in contact with the devotees. Otherwise, one is seeing this pattern, then one might go down the path of liberation and the personal concept of the Lord.
Yes, yes.
Because they're not actually that sincere.
Yes.
Right. So you see, when Lord Chaitanya came to Prakashananda Saraswati, then there was some proper mood on how he dealt and etiquette, and then he spoke something and they said, please explain. So that sincere mood of inquiry, then they got the mercy of the Lord. Same with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya.
Yes.
But we see when he went to South, the Buddhists, they didn't do that. They came there and, you know, they got defeated. So they came back to show their submission, but actually they were trying to trick the Lord. Right. And so therefore, then they got the problems. Then after that, they might have become a little sincere.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
You know? So like that, you have to see it's all about that attitude is very important. Like we said before, is the Gita starts with that aspect of the spirit of approaching Gita. So if the attitude's not right, then you won't necessarily get very much, because the spirit or the attitude, then that's going to qualify the effect of your results.
Yes, yes.
I perform a mechanical action, I will get a result.
Yes.
But what's the experience of that result depends upon the mood. You know, it's just like, let's say you have some friends, okay. And in one scenario, they are just, you know, having some fun, and they try to do something, you know, mechanically, you know, some mechanical transformation of the material energy, and it goes totally wrong. Because the mood was just to, you know, do something light, have some fun. They may be all laughing their heads off about it, how crazy it is and how stupid, and, you know, the thing blew up and now there's, you know, stuff all over. You know, it's just, they may be laughing. But now let's say that same group, they were very serious about accomplishing something, and that accomplishment is going to be, you know, their goal. Then when something goes wrong, they feel very bad. So it's in the attitude on how you, that's what I said before. One thing, you perceive it in one way, someone else attached to the same condition will define it as pleasure. So that's the whole thing, is the attitude is what's very, very important. You know, that's the difficulty when we take it that it's all about the knowledge and skills, you know, and even the values, you know, in this modern approach to the Upanishadic principles. Then the difficulty here, it simply becomes the knowledge and skill to do a particular activity. And then the material quality, you know, material social qualities that they value that don't necessarily connect with, in other words, my knowledge and skills is one thing, my social values are another thing. Mm-hmm. And they may not be connected.
Yes.
Like that. And definitely in this approach, you can't necessarily say it's connected to Krishna. Maybe later on you do, but only when you do, it is connected. But it's taken that it's automatic. I chant Hare Krishna, it's automatically connected. I see the deities, I take prasad, it's automatically connected. I read Bhagavatam, but I think that when I do my, you know, ordinary activities and all that, they're automatically connected. No, you need to connect those. There's a difference. So the attitude will make that difference. But we do have the thing is, even you do the whole thing with the attitude in its mind, if at the end it gives to Krishna, then it connects the whole thing. But higher than that is someone who, before they start, they see how it's connected to Krishna. It's for Krishna's pleasure. So all the way through, it's about Krishna. Even though they may be focusing on the knowledge of skill itself, but it doesn't mean that they don't... get that benefit,
yes,
you know, all the way along, because they're trying to do it for Krishna, but it's already been given to Krishna. So as it unfolds, then it becomes nice, right? So because Krishna is being pleased by their work, they're becoming happy as the work is going. While the other one, it's only at the end when they give it to Krishna in that mood of surrender, then they'll get that benefit. That's the difference, you know. So you have the direct and indirect. The direct, it's already Krishna. You just have to be aware. The indirect, you have to be aware of its connection to Krishna. Now you can be aware all the way through or just at the end. You know, like that. Or it may be in the beginning and end, you know, in the middle. Maybe either. It's just a matter. But the point is, you start off how it's Krishna's and you're trying to do it for Krishna. So that's the whole thing, is that when your consciousness, that you're conscious of Krishna, you're trying to think how this all connects to Krishna, then Krishna will give the proper understanding. He's within the heart. So he'll give from inside, he's giving understanding from outside through the Vaishnavas, through the Guru, right? You know, so Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and that way then he gets. And then we can move forward, right? But that's because the goal is ultimately to please Krishna, right? But if we have any other motives, then those are going to create problems while they're there. And then we, you know, we try, slowly try to get rid of them. Yeah?
Yes, thank you.
Vrajana, I agree that the suffering and the conditioned jivas are ultimately beneficial, but presently it is very painful. Was it not within the means of the omniscient Supreme Lord Sri Krishna to change this torture path, material existence, into an easier one? Raghunath Das Babaji, the leelas of Sri Krishna are unlimited and variegated. Hence, this also is another of his many unique activities. When the supreme autocrat willfully engages in a kaleidoscope of pastimes, why should it be unusual for him to enact this particular pastime? If the principle of variegated leelas is kept intact, not a single type of leela can be rejected. Whatever the leela, the participants assisting the Lord may have to accept many hardships and pain. Sri Krishna is the Purusha, the supreme enjoyer and absolute master. All the upakarana participants and paraphernalia are fully under the control of the Purusha, and they are the working tools of the supreme creator. In fully surrendering oneself to the sweet will of the Supreme Lord, it is only natural that one may have to accept adversities also. If finally this material adversity turns into an auspicious state that is far from miserable, then why ultimately should one call it adversity? Well, it means just like, let us say someone is trying to perform an activity. So many obstacles are coming up. And he's not successful, right? Then we'll talk about, yeah, how he tried, and the obstacles were insurmountable. He couldn't get over it. You know, he had this one and that one and so many others. And, you know, we'd be looking at it from that point of view, you know, which is what you mentioned before, that the gross materialist, then they're going to think that that's the way it is, right? But now let us say that that person went all these obstacles again and again and again, so many, but at the end, he was very successful, right? His business went really well, or, you know, something went really well, or, you know, what is it, you know, Brunhilde, right? You know, then he crossed over the mountains, he crossed through the fire, he fought with the dragon, then he got the girl, like this. Then we talk about how great it is. He got the result and all these obstacles, but they were just part of the fire of his development as a personality, his, you know, the arc of his personal development. And so then we're not going to look at it in a negative light. We're going to look at it, yeah, he went through all that and see how nicely things came out. So that's the whole point is that he's making here, is that if it comes out that you go back to Godhead and you're in the Lord's eternal pastimes, how can you call it adversity? Why do you call it bad? It's just, this is what one went through, the crucible in which one came out to be nice. Because the point is when you have the nice gold bangle, you're not thinking, oh, you know, it had to go through so much fire and beating and everything like that. Right? That's not the important aspect. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's just a matter of how you see it. On the transcendental platform, the tribulations of the jiva, while trying to satisfy the Lord in his pastimes, are by all accounts pleasurable, right? Because they're always absorbed in the Lord, and being absorbed in the Lord, that's always going to make the Lord happy. And that means we're going to be happy. Yet the conditioned soul, by misuse of his free will, denies himself the exaltation one experiences whilst directly assisting Sri Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. Instead, he embraces Maya, who gives him only acute harassment. If anyone is to blame for this dilemma, it is the jiva and definitely not Krishna. Because, right? we want to always avoid at all costs that it's our problem. You know, it shouldn't be our problem like that. That's how we'll look at it. Our whole idea is that no, it's all about how we we can never be wrong. You know, I want to enjoy, so why not? It's my nature. So, but the point is what we're leaving out in the inherent nature is that I'm a servant, right? And I'm not servant of the senses. I'm not servant of the six enemies, you know, lust, anger, greed. You know, Prabhupada points out that we're even servant of those, because when anger comes up, we can't control it. When lust comes up, we can't control it. Envy comes up, we can't. So we're servants of that. Right? So that's why you see the acharya is always talking about that they're bad masters. I've served them so nicely, the senses and the six enemies, for my whole life, and they still don't give me anything. You know, so I mean the donkey's better off, right? You know, at least it gets fed nicely and a place to stay. Right? So yeah. So it's just the jiva, they don't include Krishna. How can they be happy since they're part and parcel? And when you be small, we're always going to work in energies, and it's Krishna's energy. So that energy that works, that we can work with, if we're consciousness is in absorbed in Krishna, that'll be the internal. But if we want to deal with Krishna's energies without Krishna, that's the external, because it's unconscious. Like that. You know what I'm saying? It's just like your shoes. They couldn't care if you're a gross materialist or not. So that's the whole thing, is that. But in the spiritual world, they'd be really annoyed if you were a gross materialist. You know? Vrajana, if the jiva were not allocated his share of free will, would anything have gone amiss? Sri Krishna is omniscient, so he knew that the jiva would have to suffer if given free will. Considering this case, is Sri Krishna not to be made responsible for the misery of the jiva, right? So as soon as you get rid of, the question was made, because of this, that's why, you know, we're suffering and it's Krishna's fault. No, like that, removes it. Okay, but if you say that, then Krishna on this account, then he's responsible. No, this. Oh, okay. Okay, but he gave us free will, and because of that, he's omniscient. He knows that we're going to fall down. And so therefore, again, still it says, but you notice that every question, he never addresses how we turned away from Krishna. And that has anything to do with us being unhappy. Right? So in other words, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has heard all the arguments everybody makes on why it's Krishna's fault, not my fault. And so now then Raghunath Das Babaji is addressing all those, and Vrajanath is asking all the questions.
Maharaj?
Yes.
I heard these questions like 100 times.
Yeah, it's always the same questions. That's why I'm just seeing it this time we're going through, is that, yeah, these are all the questions. But, you know, before you just think it's just one kind of thing, but it's different angles of the same thing. So you make the point, no, because of this, that's why it's Krishna's fault. When you remove that, then technically it should be not Krishna's fault. No, we come up with another one and another one and another one until, you know, we run out of things to say. Raghunath Das Babaji, Swatantratam, free choice is indeed the rarest gem, right? If we don't have free choice, you know, what is this? You know, why is he controlling and everything like that? Why don't we have free choice? You get free choice and you enjoy. Yes, this is the life, but if you get free choice and you suffer, then it's a problem. You know, it's just like, let us say, you know, the rioters, they go down, they burn all the city buses, right? And they feel, yes, we've done something, we've shown the government and that. But now the next day, you know, it's the weekend's over, now it's the next day, time to go to work. They catch the bus. There are no buses. Why? They burn all the buses. Are they going to say, oh, we burned all the buses? They're going to say, this government, see, it doesn't take care of it. They can't provide buses for us. But it's you burnt the buses. But yeah.
Well, Maharaj, you are presenting the situation in France.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, like that. And then it's like, you know, what kind of government they can't. I mean, I've seen it. Kids will have something. You give them something like nice and they like it and all that. And then because they like to throw things, and they'll throw it. It breaks into pieces. You know, then you go and pick it. Then they'll pick it up and go fix it.
Yes, yes.
You know, it fixes. It's like, what do you mean? You just broke it. How do you fix it? They just think you can play with it any way you like. And it'll just continue. And because of that, because of the two illusions of Ananda Brahma and Vaikuntha Brahma. But Ananda Brahma means this place is a place of happiness. And Vaikuntha Brahma, that is eternal. So therefore, I can eternally be happy here in the material world. So therefore, you do something and then, you know, it works. You know, so then like that. So the kids are doing it in that way. We'll say it's childish, but the adults are doing it the same way. They think is, I remove this, I get this house, I get this money, I get this facility, I buy this TV or this washing machine, then everything will be wonderful. But then, you know, something goes wrong and they have to call the guy to come in and fix it. And they, you know, and this and that. And then there's the bill. And then there's so many other things. And, you know, yeah. And so it's just no ending. But we're under the illusion of, no, we can remove this. You know, why is everything so expensive? But the point is that it's just a matter of what you want to invest in. Yes, means everybody should making it as less. But you're never going to have as much money as you want. I can guarantee you the billionaires want more. However much they have, let's say they have, they're worth 10 billion, they want 100 billion. And if they have 100 billion, they want, you know, more. So there's no end. So this whole idea is that, no, I can make the material world, you know, perfect, you know, eternally. It's not going to happen. But, you know, we're very convinced of it because it's our nature. But the problem is we're applying our nature separate from Krishna. So therefore, we get the inferior nature. Then you can say, well, why can't we have the superior? Would you like it? Okay, thieves come into your house and, you know, you go into the kitchen to make yourself a sandwich. And when you come back to the couch, it's already full of a whole bunch of guys sitting there and watching the TV. And when you come in there, you know, you're standing there like that. And one of the guys walks up to you and takes the sandwich, you know, thank you, you know, and sits down and they all start to eat and that. And you got any drinks also? You know, hey, can you have another sandwich? And would you like that?
No.
Yeah. So the whole point is that the spiritual world doesn't want to be exploited by gross materialists. You know, so that's it. That's why you can't stay in the spiritual world. You have to come to the material world. Because in the material world, it's all unconscious. Unconscious matter doesn't complain. It doesn't mean you get good results, but it doesn't complain. Right? You know, you drop that nice vase, it breaks. It doesn't complain. Right? So that's the difficulty, is that we're thinking that we can make the material world perfect. So that's what the karmi is trying to do. And the jnani has understood the material world is inherently flawed, so you have to get out of here. So then he just wants to destroy it and get out. So it's not enough that you just get out. No, you have to destroy the place before, as you're going out.
Yes.
You know, that's always that thing of that, you know, revenge just made me suffer, so it has to be destroyed. You know, so you see that mode of ignorance is a very popular position. If none of the many entities in the material world were given free choice, that would imply the existence of far fewer significant beings. And ultimately, if the jiva were not endowed with free will, he would simply be reduced to inert and insignificant matter. Right. The jiva is part and parcel of chid vastu, the absolute transcendence. Hence, he possesses the same qualities as the absolute whole, but in minute measure. Supreme independence is the intrinsic characteristic of the ultimate supreme substance, Sri Krishna. And to separate a substance from its innate characteristics is, of course, impossible. Therefore, free will is certainly present in the nature of the jiva, but proportionate to his infinitesimal size. The intrinsic constitutional presence of free will has elevated the jiva to a much higher status than matter and has made him its lord and master in the material sense. It has also favored him with the possibility of becoming the dearmost servitor of the Supreme Lord. So the free will has given him the opportunity to function on the material platform, that being superior to the material energy, he can control that and somehow or another try to enjoy that. Or that free will can give him the opportunity to become the dearmost servitor of the Supreme Lord. So that free will is there. So we're not complaining about the free will if things are going good for us. We're only complaining about the free will when things go bad for us. That is also another aspect of the discussion. Yeah, and when you say it's all going bad, but you're saying that only from the context that you want it to be good. Right? And good means generally material. Otherwise, you'd say it's bad here, so I should just take up devotional service. That's the only place where there's actual happiness. But why am I suffering means why aren't I materially enjoying? You know? And for some, it's no, I don't want to enjoy, I just want to be peaceful. But then for some, that is their enjoyment. But that peace without Krishna, then Krishna is peace, not something else. When the same jiva misuses his innate free choice and thus becomes engrossed in material activities, the merciful Sri Krishna is stricken by compassion and concerned about the bad fortune of the jiva. Lamenting, the Lord shadows the movement of the jiva, planning means to save him. Sri Krishna knows that his nectarian and immortal leelas are not available to the conditioned jiva, and thus, out of deep compassion, he manifests his achintya leela, inconceivable and wonderful pastimes, from within the material nature for the edification of the conditioned jiva. However, realizing that jiva in his conditioned state is unable to properly comprehend his transcendental pastimes, Sri Krishna has descended to earth at Navadvipa, appearing as the most munificent incarnation, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Acting as the divine spiritual master, Sri Mahaprabhu has initiated the jiva into a supremely efficacious. That sounds better. That's the problem is, if you put the emphasis in one place, it's English. You put the emphasis in another place, it'll be another of the romantic languages. Generally, all the other ones. into a supremely efficacious method for his salvation. He has explained the esoteric truth about the transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, simultaneously taking the position of a pure devotee and teaching the science of pure devotional service by his own exemplary conduct. My dear boy, could one possibly think of blaming such a magnanimous Lord? The compassion of Sri Krishna is immeasurable and the condition of the fallen souls is most lamentable. Jiva Dharma chapter 16. So Krishna is already lamenting on how the jiva is suffering, but he's trying to find ways. He comes in the heart, right? You know, it's like there's a limit to how far means, you know, your mother, you know, is very, very close and will tolerate so much, but is she willing to go with you when you become a worm and stool and stuff? Might not, right? So, but Krishna goes with you in the heart. Wherever the jiva goes, he goes, and he's with each jiva. So he feels that compassion, he feels that magnanimity, he feels that concern. But so then that's special. So one has to see is how, and then Lord Chaitanya comes because people aren't taking advantage and then shows how they can take advantage. Because Krishna showed his pastimes, but people aren't taking advantage. So then Lord Chaitanya comes and shows us how to be able to take advantage of that, how we can become absorbed by the process of bhakti. Yeah?
Maharaj?
Huh.
Maharaj, if material world would have been ideal, better place for enjoyment, then wouldn't it have been more ideal use of free will that Jiva still gives up this place of enjoyment and chooses to serve Krishna? Because now it looks like it's because it's misery, then he chooses to serve Krishna.
Jai! A new twist. But what's the ultimate goal here? Is to get enjoyment in the material world. Otherwise, why use that angle? Why would you use that angle?
Then it seems like Maharaj, there is no free will, is forced to take that option.
So only if it's nice, it's free will, and if it's not nice, it's not free will. So if you choose, you have the red pill and you have the blue pill, but if you out of your free will take one and it doesn't work out nicely, then you'll say it's not free will. But if you take the other pill and you feel it's working out more nicely, then you'll say this is free will.
No, Maharaj.
See, because in other words, the central point in this that's unique is that only when we enjoy, then we'll be able to. Yeah, it'd be just like that. Just like, let's say you've gotten your, you know, you haven't had a phone. All your friends have a phone. You finally got a phone. Okay, so now that you got this phone and all that, and you have this phone, now the first thing you're going to do is you're so happy with this phone, now you're going to think, now I should surrender to Krishna, right? Or that you're so happy you got the phone, you're doing all the things on your phone, and then you figure out that there's better phones. Then you want a better phone, right? And so now you get, you know, whatever it is, you know, some phone and this and that. And then you figure out, you know, that whatever it is, there's one called MI or, you know, all these other things like this, all the knockoffs. Then you figure out, oh, there's, you know, some other phone, you know, and then within that phone, then there's this phone and it just keeps going. And even if you have all that, then are you satisfied? Now you got the fancy phone, but now what about the case? What about the cool jacket? What about the shoes? What about the sunnies to go with it? Now you need that cool haircut where you shave the side and your top goes foof like this. So you look like a mushroom head, you know, like that. So, you know, you got to keep doing that. And that's not enough either. Well, now we got to make it a different color and all that. Now, what about your ride? Okay, you know, so maybe that, you know, that TVS 50cc thing isn't enough. So you're going to upgrade to one of the, you know, the 100cc ones. And then you find out everybody else has got a Honda or a Yamaha. And then you get that and you're cool. Then somebody drives by in a KTM. Then you go, wow, what's that? And then somebody else, you get that. And then somebody drives by in a Harley. Then it's like that. And then you see you got that. But then you see that the guy drives by in you know, a Mercedes. So it doesn't matter what you have. There's somebody that's got something better. And the heavenly planets, they go around in a vehicle that's just by mantra. You just desire. It works. You know, upari chara vasu. You hear about, like, you hear about these different chariots, right? Okay, of all chariots, can you give any detail of any chariot that's there in the heavenly planets? Right, I mean, Indra has a one with 10,000 horses. That's outstanding. Okay, there we go. Like that, Brahma rides on a swan. Other than that, heard anything?
No,
because it's just standard stuff. Like that, you know, Upari Charavasu. You hear about his. His was made out of crystal. That means you're sitting in it. You can see out the bottom, out the sides, everything like that. And when you go by, you know, in the sky, people think you're just riding on your own without a chariot. So that means that's three chariots out of unlimited millions and billions that we've had, that we've heard about. But don't worry. You have a chariot. Someone has a bigger chariot. Someone has a better chariot. Even if you have a fabulous chariot, it's the best chariot, but the guy next to you who's chariot isn't as good, he's got more apsaras in his chariot. You know, and then it's kind of like, what's the point of the chariot? You know, he's got the apsaras. You know, so like that, it's just, sorry?
And also the demons from lower planets always attack to get your
then they come and they take over. It's like Indra's sitting on his asan there, lord of like that, and then a buffalo walks in and whoosh, and he's off the seat and the buffalo sits down and Indra can do nothing about it. Yeah, think about it, right? You're Indra and a buffalo kicks you out. You know, Bali Maharaj, okay, we understand that, but a buffalo? Yeah, so therefore, if we go on the premise that no, if everything's very nice and wonderful and materially perfect and no problems and it's just so wonderful and whatever I desire, it all happens and everything like that, then wouldn't all the kind of wealthier people or things like that or well-to-do people, wouldn't all the aristocrats in India, then they'd all be pure devotees, right? Isn't it? I mean, it's just like this. Everybody else has a regular or straight building like this, you know? Who has a building that goes up and goes over and then goes like this and then back and like that, you know? But there's one like that in Bombay, right? So that guy is, I think, the richest guy in India. He would be a pure devotee, right? Isn't it?
No matter.
And then how do you define what's nice? Means that the people living in the street, right? Means you have people living in the street and they think if they had a piece of plastic over their head, they'd be happy. The guy with the plastic, he wants a piece of, you know, the tin sheet, you know, and the guy with the tin sheet, then he wants a two-story tin sheet house. And then, you know, but he's got the bamboo walls, but then someone else that has the, you know, some sheet walls or brick walls or like this and that. And so if you go through, what's that place in Bombay, that biggest slum that's there?
Dharavi.
Dharavi. If you go, huh?
Yes, Maharaj, Dharavi.
Dharavi. So if you go through Dharavi, you'll see that there's a hierarchy of who are the big shots there, you know, who's got the fancy slum and who's got, you know, just an ordinary slum. So, you know, so then that would mean that the guys with the fancy slum, they would get, you know, or is it, no, that's slum. And then you get into regular old kind of apartments. And then you got the guys in the bungalows and you got the guys, you know, down on Marine Drive like that. And, you know, so where does it end? Where does it come to the point where now you have enough material things that they're so satisfied that now they want to take up Krishna consciousness? Can you give an example? Just one. No, because there aren't any. Very simple. Yes.
On the contrary, I had a Gujarati friend, like, no, they had all these facilities. Then when I took up to Krishna consciousness and then I met him, then his comment was, because you have something lacking, that's why you need the spirituality to fill it up.
Fill in. Yes, you feel that emptiness in your heart.
But I don't need it.
Yeah. And you just tell him, we'll have this conversation again after 30 years. Then we'll see.
No, it's like a very good, really agrees, but then this is their point of their conviction in the heart, like, no?
Yeah.
Not so seriously like that.
Yeah, at the end when I'm useless, I can't do anything, I can't eat anything, I can't make any more money, I can't enjoy myself, then I'll take it up seriously. I mean, that's the typical, that's also very typical. So that's the whole point, is that they'll take it, it's just a cop-out. So the point is, the gross materialist is going to make the point is that you're supposed to enjoy the material world. That's why we're seeing is that this approach won't work. Right? Are we still there? Oh, yeah.
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. Also, so are we happy with that? Yes, go ahead.
Also, like once one devotee was asking this particular question to me, and then there was a senior devotee, and he said, yes, Krishna did arrange a place for you where you can yourself be in happy and no problems, nothing. That is called Brahman, where you get that Shaija Mukti. Nobody will disturb you, nothing. Mm. You be for yourself, enjoy yourself. Mm. But you want somebody else, then you have to satisfy his needs also. There starts the problem for you.
Yeah. No, immediately then that, you have to do. And not only that, is the original position, we had that nice position. And then we think of something else. So we had all the nice positions, and then we used our free will to come here. So yes, so things are nice, you use your free will to come here. Things are not nice, you use your free will to go there. And anybody who's intelligent sees that what we call nice is also so much trouble. Right? We think if we had all these facilities, but you have to take care of all those facilities. They don't take care of themselves. Dead matter doesn't take care of itself. You have to take care of it. Right? So either you personally do it or you hire someone to do it. But if you hire someone to do it, you got to pay. So that means you're going to work anyway. So either you work and take care of it yourself and keep life simple, or you work harder and get enough money to take care of yourself and pay this guy. Right. In other words, you could take care of it. Right. But you get someone else to take care of it. And so now you have to take care of them and yourself. So like that, we just keep increasing things in that. So this idea is that, oh, if I was happy, then I'd take up Krishna consciousness. Only then it's free will. If I'm leaving this, that's OK. Then let us say. Let's use a real practical, a Shastric example, okay? We have Lord Indra. Lord Indra is a pig. I'm not just saying that because, you know, I don't like Indra. Yeah, he's a pig. You know, we're talking about he became a pig. And he's living in his pig pen with his pig family. And Narad Muni comes there and says, okay, Indra, it's time to go. He says, why we should go? Everything's so great here. You know, I have my nice place to stay, nice food. I got my family. It's all good. What are you talking about? You know, he says, you're king, you know, you're Indra. You have work to do. He says, who cares? I'm happy now. Right? So it's only when he was put into a position of distress, then we see that then he woke up and then would go back to his duties as Indra. So this idea is that because we're looking for enjoyment, but the point is we're looking for that enjoyment separate from Krishna. That's where the problem comes in. But if we see our enjoyment in a relation to Krishna, he's the center of all relationships, then things start to work properly. Right? So we have to be very, very careful about that. Is that if we don't see it in that way, then there's always going to be misery. The material world means misery. Right?
Yes, Maharaj.
Oh? Yeah. Okay. So are we good on that? So this idea is that it's only free will if I'm happy. No, free will is what you do with every moment of whatever you're doing. Whether it's good or bad, you always have free will whether you want to do something or not.
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj.
You know, so if you say there's no free will when it's miserable, then that means then you're completely controlled by that miserable situation. So what happened to your free will? So it's not an inherent quality. It's a temporary, it's a material quality like these situations, because what's temporary is considered material. What's permanent, that's there. So freedom is an inherent quality of the soul. So how can you say it's only freedom if it functions when things are good, and if it functions when things are bad, that's not freedom.
Correct.
And you'll also just by practical thing, those who fly the banner of freedom, they're always, always destroying and making a mess of things and making trouble. No? Isn't it?
Yes, man.
Yeah,
so yes, man.
The following has been said: if one experiences someone's sufferings, but ignores that and destroys a different person's suffering, one shows partiality. Since the Lord does not experience material happiness and suffering, though he knows of it, this accusation does not apply to the Lord. The Lord is like a desire tree. Right? So they're saying, oh, but he sees to the suffering of the devotees, but not to the suffering of materialists. And so then he's saying he's being partial. Right? Because the bottom line you see in all these conversations is, I want to enjoy. Right? You know, just like you see with the when we were discussing before about the impersonalists, it's, I want to be God. I want to be the supreme controller. So therefore, they're comfortable with one drop of water becomes the ocean. But if the one drop of water becomes the ocean, but there's already an ocean there. Right? And then if you say it's no, it's all, you become part of the ocean. But it's known that ocean is so many drops of water. Right? So the individual drops remain as drops. Right? Yeah. So this accusation. So Akura, he's like a desire tree, right? So he gives what people want, but people don't want suffering. I want to do whatever I want, but I don't want that the result should be suffering. So if the result is suffering, someone else must be wrong. I can never be wrong. That I want something that's not logical and isn't natural. It's not according to the laws. And then I don't get it, and then I'll blame someone else. When it's actually, why would you want happiness in the material world when it's just another form of distress, right? Because happiness means it's only is Ananda. That means it's connection with Krishna, with his internal potency, right? Ananda means Ladini Shakti. So in the material world, you know, you're going to get the, what do you call it? The effect of this on the jiva is that they'll look for material, they'll look for the happiness. But the point is without Krishna, it won't be Ananda. Akura said, the Supreme Lord does not consider a person dear or despised, the object of gratitude, the object of hatred, or the object of indifference. All the same, he lovingly reciprocates with his devotees in whatever manner they worship him. Just as the trees of heaven fulfill the desires of whoever approaches them. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:38-22. The person mentioned in the verse, Kaschit, refers to someone who is not a devotee, for it is said that the devotee is dear to him. That learned person would approach anyone but you for shelter. No, what learned person would approach anyone but you for shelter when you are the affectionate, grateful, and truthful well-wisher of your devotees? To those who worship you in sincere friendship, you reward everything they desire, even your own self, yet you never increase or diminish. Yeah, so he doesn't increase by this. He doesn't diminish by this. It's not that he gives himself to one devotee. He can't give himself to another devotee. He's still complete. And it's not by a living entity coming to the material world and taking up materialism that Krishna becomes less in any way. Shiva has said, he does not regard anyone with favor or hostility. He has no one as his own relative, and no one is separate from him. Because he is the soul of all living entities, he is affectionate to all beings. This fortunate, obedient Chitraketu, dear to the Lord, sees all living entities equally and is peaceful. Similarly, I am also very dear to Lord Narayana. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:17-33-34. Lord has said, O Lord, with unlimited powers of yoga, your activities are inconceivable. Equal to all, you show no favoritism. You have the nature of a desire tree. But you, who created the universe as your pastime by Maya, who knows all beings and who gives life to all beings, show particular affection for your devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 8:23-8. Prahlad said, Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:29, this Udriti, we can't get the dot under the R? It won't come, or it's just...
It should be always. Generally, I do it at the last, so all the extra additions. So sometimes if I add something later, then they miss it.
Oh, okay. Okay. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dvesho stina priyaha ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion as a friend is in me, and I am also a friend to him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly equal towards all living entities. But a devotee who fully surrenders at the lotus feet of the Lord is different from a non-devotee. In other words, everyone can take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord to enjoy equal benedictions from the Lord. But non-devotees do not do so, and therefore they suffer the consequences created by the material energy. We can understand this fact by a simple example. The king or government is equal to all citizens. Therefore, if a citizen capable of receiving special favors from the government is offered such favors, this does not mean that the government is partial. One who knows how to receive favors from the authority can receive them, but one who does not neglects these favors and does not receive them. There are two classes of men, the demons and the demigods. The demigods are fully aware of the Supreme Lord's position, and therefore they are obedient to him. But even if demons know about the supremacy of the Lord, they purposely defy his authority. Therefore, the Lord makes distinctions according to the mentality of the being. But otherwise, he is equal to everyone. See, we're just looking at he got this, he got that. But it's all about the mentality, as we said before, the spirit of it. And so if the spirit is there, that's what defines. You know, like let's say you have the difference between someone's driving their car and then by accident, you know, hit somebody, or someone's driving their car and they specifically plan to hit that person. Then even though the effect is the same, the method was the same, in the court, the ruling will be the difference between manslaughter and first degree murder. Even though externally it's the same. You know, so that's the intent is very much part of the whole process. You know. So that's why we always have to be very, very careful, is that the intent has to be included. So that's why we see before, what's the intent? The intent is about enjoyment, or the intent is about renunciation of the world and liberation, right? You know, that I want to enjoy. Why Krishna, why am I suffering? Why didn't he make me transcendental? He made you transcendental. You chose to not be transcendental. It means you still are transcendental. You just act as if you're not. You know, so that aspect of the free will, then we're not looking at how it's all very nicely arranged by the Lord. Right? So the benefits is there if we take it. And if we don't take it, then what to do? So that's the whole idea, is that it's being offered like the desire tree. The desire tree is there. You go up and ask the tree, you'll get what you want. But if you don't go up to the tree and then complain, you know, why is it he got and I didn't get, but he went to the tree and asked, you didn't go to the tree and ask. Why do I have to go to the tree and ask? Why can't I just get because I want? You know, this is not free will, because what we're thinking here is free will is according to my whimsy. Free will is I get what I want. That's a different definition than free will means you have a choice. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point. And if you use that free will to choose a particular thing, that doesn't mean you don't have free will. Right? You know, like moderately pro-choice. But the people who aren't pro-choice, they've made the choice to not be, to choose the other side. Does that make sense? So one side decided to be sinful, one's decided to be pious. But they're saying, no, the one is being sinful. They're pro-choice, and the other one, you have no choice. But they've made the choice to make that choice. And the other has made the choice to make the opposite choice. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, so that's all. Therefore, the Lord makes distinctions according to the mentality of the living being. Right? So it's according to your mentality that he reciprocates. So now we would call that a very personal dealing if according to how what your mood and what your attitude, that's how you're going to reciprocate. You have a particular interest, so then they talk to you about your interest. You consider that a very nice thing. And so now that's how God deals. And oh, he's unequal. Oh, he spoke with him about golf because that was what he was into. He spoke with this guy about horses because that was what he was into. Oh, he's unequal. Why didn't he talk about horses with both of them or golf with both of them? You know, so it's they're not, they claim about the individual, about the personal, about the free will, but actually they don't. They just want it to be how they like it. They want to define it. They don't want to be controlled. Free will doesn't mean you're not under the control, because you're under the control of what you chose. If you choose something, how that unfolds and the results, that's what you get. Right? Does that make sense? You can't put your coin in the machine and push a button, and then when the item that you push the button for comes, you can't claim now it's, where's my free will? You know, why couldn't I have gotten those? You could have just pushed those buttons. No, I want all of it. Then put in more coins and push all the buttons. So that's the thing, is people want things on their own terms, in their own way, by their own whim. And they call that free will. And free will is just your choice. I want to do this or that. You know, like that. That's all. Like a desire tree, the Lord fulfills the desires of one who takes shelter of him. But one who does not take such shelter is distinct from the surrendered soul. Right? So the surrendered soul has one position, and those who don't surrender have another position, because we're talking about the Lord. So he just relates with those who relate to him, how they relate to him. One who takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord is favored by the Lord, regardless of whether such a first person is a demon or a demigod. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.23.8 purport. So whatever the background, you take shelter of the Lord, it works very nicely. Okay. Although affectionate to devotees, bhakti priyaha, you are equal, samad drisha, in nature, swabhava, without partiality, avi sama, because your nature is like a desire tree. Though you appear partial, you are actually impartial. This is astonishing. He's actually impartial, but it appears he's partial, because of the personal interaction. So that's the thing. We want personal interaction, but at the same time, when it's given out, then we get upset about it. Why is it that me not surrendering, I don't get the same result as someone who does surrender? You know, like that. He went out and worked. He put in the extra time, right? You know, there was the regular work, and then there was some special project, you know, that were out, beyond the regular hours. He put in that extra work and he got, you know, the payment for that. Why didn't I get that payment, even though I didn't do the work? So that's the thing that we see, is people are just cheating. Yeah, that's all. So the cheaters and the cheating. It doesn't have anything to do with actual reality. It's natural. On the personal level, you deal with each person as a person. And they're individual, and how they deal with you. Since you're the one that is fulfilling everything, it's all come from you. It's all yours. Right? To say that I go into the rich man's house, and then, you know, let's say there's a group of friends come over. And so each one, according to what they're interested in, then that arrangement is made by the person who owns the house. This one gets this drink or this snack. This one sits in this seat or that. This one does this activity. That one does that. You know, and so according to their individual nature, they get, you know, but if you start complaining, you know, I got this drink, why can't I have that drink too? But you didn't ask for that drink. You know, and so these kinds of things, or if they just want to be able to use the house how they please without the boss, then that's just not nice. That's not personal. That's just self-centered. Personal dealings means you're dealing one person to another. So that's the fun part, is that we talk personal, but actually our intent is impersonal. And those who talk impersonal, they talk impersonal, but you see it's all because of their own personal desire. So you have to properly balance this personal and impersonal. And you can only do that if you do it in the context of the Lord. If you do it separate from the Lord, it will always be askew. Yes? Yeah, okay. Another meaning is as follows. As the desire tree is equal to all who take shelter of it, because you show partiality to the devotee and thus have a nature of inequality, you still have a nature of being equal. That conclusion should not be avoided. Thus, the word can be taken as vishama instead of avishama. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:38:22, quoted above, shows that the Lord does have partiality to the devotee. Actually, because the Lord has inconceivable powers as his chief quality, this resolves the contradiction in the Lord, it is said. I continually offer a respects to you, son of Vasudeva of the Yajas, who remain forever distinct from the non-devotees, who are the enjoyer in your spiritual abode in Mathura and Vraja with your devotees, displaying powers that are unequaled and unsurpassable. Sridhar says in his commentary, though it appears the Lord is partial, he has no fault, since he has inconceivable powers. Bhishma says, his actions are not a mistake of his judgment, for he is faultless. He is the soul of all beings. He sees all equally. He is without a second and is without pride. O King, see his mercy to his dedicated devotees. By that mercy has come before me directly when I am about to leave my body. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:9:21-22. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, although equal to everyone, is still more inclined to his unflinching devotee who is completely surrendered and knows no one else is his protector and master. Having unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord as one's protector, friend, and master is the natural condition of eternal life. A living entity is made by the will of the Almighty, that he is most happy when placing himself in a condition of absolute dependence. The opposite tendency is the cause of fall down. The living entity has the tendency of falling down by dint of misidentifying himself as fully independent, the lorded over the material world. The root cause of all troubles is there in false egotism. One must draw towards the Lord in all circumstances. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:9:22. The Lord says, I am equal to all living beings. I do not hate anyone, nor do I favor anyone. But those who worship me with devotion are in me, and I am in them. Right? So you see, that one's different before, is that we are friends. Right? Where was that one? I don't remember. There's another Gita verse where he says we're friends and all that. It means we're close. But here he says, I am in them and they are in me. So that means even more intimate. Like that. Thus, the Lord personally performs his pastimes and appears as avatars by his Swarup Shakti in order to please his devotees, while not being at fault for showing partiality to the devotee, since the cause is bliss and bhakti, the essence of a Swarup Shakti. The protection of the unit. This is all happening because of his Swarup Shakti. Like that. So he's reciprocating and they're surrendering in this way. And so then all these nice happiness and that is there. This difficulty is removed by entering them in Amsha forms previous to appearance. Oh, wait a minute. We're up the next one up. The protection of the universe is not done by him personally. Thus, an answer to Vidura's question. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:7:2, the Lord is not connected with the gunas. So the Lord doesn't do, he does through his energies, but in the spiritual world, also through his energies. But the internal, that he's directly connected. On the material world, then that is not so. in relation to protection of the universe involving devatas, his own satisfaction would be destroyed in pastimes with devatas who have material bodies. This difficulty is removed by entering them in amsa forms previous to his appearance. As well, the Lord's Sarup Shakti is not depleted when he expands his avatars. And there is no inequality in the Lord. For when he performs pastimes only for the pleasure of his devotees, he has no attraction or hatred for anyone else elsewhere. Right? So he's interacting with the devotees and he's fully absorbed there. So others, even though they're inimical, he doesn't have hatred towards them. And he's not dealing with other materialists in a personal, you know, interaction like that. So that favor he's giving the devotees is because the devotees are surrendering and they're dealing that way. Because just as they give themselves to the Lord gives himself to the devotees. But you see amongst the materialists, he's not envious of anyone or partial to anyone. It's the same way. As they work, they get results. The difference being is the devotees' results are coming within the Sambit, Sandini, and Vladini aspects. You know, all three, it's complete. Well, then for the materialist, he's only dealing with the external form of these aspects. He's not dealing with the internal potency. And so they're focused on, I'll get happiness from the material situations and actions. While in the spiritual world, it's about, we will perform all these actions to please Krishna. So we see the mentality is reversed. The spiritual, I use the Sandini and Sambit Shaktis to please Krishna. While you see is that for the materialist, then he's trying to get his own happiness by gaining these. Right? If I get the car, then I'll be happy. Well, the spiritual is using it in interaction and in relationship. That's where the happiness is. Having the car isn't the happiness at all. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Rather, his chastising demons is beneficial for them, even if they experience punishment from him. This is like the bitter taste of sugar candy for the tongues of those afflicted with jaundice. So if you have jaundice, then sugar candy tastes bitter, even though it's actually a very sweet taste. So they'll all say, but we're suffering. Well, that's just because of you're being purified. And this is then, you know, when you take the rock candy, you think it's bitter. Why I should take this? But you take it, the medicine, you get it. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.